الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again in our program, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh, the guide to light. Alhamdulillah, in this program of ours, we try to cover different aspects of the great Imam, of the life of the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh. Alhamdulillah, we spoke about the exemplary childhood of the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh, in our last episode, and we derived those pearls of wisdom and lessons for us which we could also act upon and have our children raised in accordance to those beautiful Madani pearls and principles. Today we brought another beautiful aspect to the seerah, to the biography of the great Imam, the revivalist of the 14th century, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, and it is his journey to knowledge, how Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh acquired his knowledge and what academic brilliance he possessed. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, one of the ways to look at someone's brilliance, someone's astonishing character or personality is also to see the academic achievements that they obtain. And we normally see that whenever we look upon or whenever we read the seerah or biographies of such individuals who held a certain rank, we see that it would be because of their expertise in one branch of knowledge or in two branches of knowledge. And having expertise in those few branches of knowledge would make them so-called academic genius or academically brilliant individuals in the sight of other people. But when we talk about the great Imam, the revivalist of the 14th century, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, then his academic brilliance cannot be encompassed within words. Today we will try to shed some light upon his brilliance in academic field and the amount of knowledge he possessed, the expertise that he held in different sciences. We will shed a little bit of light on that and how knowledgeable Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh was, what academic brilliance he possessed and how he embarked upon the journey to knowledge. And in the meanwhile, in the midst of this, whilst we will be listening and enlightening our hearts with the mention of the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, and his journey towards knowledge, we will also try to ponder upon our own state in terms of what is our state when it comes to knowledge. There's a lot more to discuss, inshallah, and we have our brother Ali Haider Vaivedas, alhamdulillah, who will be talking about this beautiful subject with us in this program. But before that, let us enlighten our hearts by listening to the Naat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sabse aula wala hamara nabi, sabse bala wala hamara nabi, sabse bala wala hamara nabi. अपने मौला का प्यारा हमारा नबी, अपने मौला का प्यारा हमारा नबी, दोनों आलम का दुल्हा हमारा नबी, دونوں عالم کا دولہا ہمارا نبی، وہ بزم آخر کا شمع فروزہ ہوا، بزم آخر کا شمع فروزہ ہوا، نور اول کا جلوہ ہمارا نبی، نور اول کا جلوہ ہمارا نبی، نور اول کا جلوہ ہمارا نبی، او بجھ گئیں جس کے آگے سبھی مشعلیں، بجھ گئیں جس کے آگے سبھی مشعلیں، شمع وہ لے کر آیا ہمارا نبی، شمع وہ لے کر آیا ہمارا نبی، وہ جس کے تلووں کا دوون ہے آب حیات، جس کے تلووں کا دوون ہے آب حیات، ہے وہ جان مسیح ہمارا نبی، ہے وہ جان مسیح ہمارا نبی، اور خلق سے اولیاء اولیاء سے رسل، خلق سے اولیاء اولیاء سے رسل، اور رسولوں سے اعلیٰ ہمارا نبی، اور رسولوں سے اعلیٰ ہمارا نبی، جس کی دو بوند ہے کوثر و سلسبیل، جس کی دو بوند ہے کوثر و سلسبیل، جس کی دو بوند ہے کوثر و سلسبیل، ہے وہ رحمت کا دریا ہمارا نبی، ہے وہ رحمت کا دریا ہمارا نبی، او جیسے سب کا خدا ایک ہے ویسے ہی، جیسے سب کا خدا ایک ہے ویسے ہی، ان کا ان کا تمہارا ہمارا نبی، ان کا ان کا تمہارا ہمارا نبی، وہ کون دیتا ہے دینے کو منہ چاہیے، کون دیتا ہے دینے کو منہ چاہیے، کون دیتا ہے دینے کو منہ چاہیے، دینے والا ہے سچا ہمارا نبی، دینے والا ہے سچا ہمارا نبی، او کیا خبر کس نے تارے کھلے چھپ گئے، کیا خبر کس نے تارے کھلے چھپ گئے، پر نہ ڈوبے نہ ڈوبا ہمارا نبی، پر نہ ڈوبے نہ ڈوبا ہمارا پیارا نبی او سارے اونچوں میں اونچا سمجھیے جسے، سارے اونچوں سے اونچا سمجھیے جسے، ہے اس اونچے سے اونچا ہمارا نبی، ہے اس اونچے سے اونچا ہمارا نبی، اور غم زدوں کو رضا مجدا دیجئے کہ ہے، غم زدوں کو رضا مجدا دیجئے کہ ہے، بے قصوں کا سہارا ہمارا نبی، بے قصوں کا سہارا ہمارا نبی، سب سے اولا لا ہمارا نبی، سب سے بالا لا ہمارا نبی۔
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Imam Ahmed Raza Khan Rahimahullah, The Guide to Light. And our today's topic of discussion is his journey to knowledge. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, knowledge is something that distinguishes between elite individuals and ordinary individuals. The more knowledgeable a person is, the more elevated ranks he possesses in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that every wali is alim, every wali possesses knowledge, but not every alim is a wali. So one of the conditions to become wali, closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to obtain knowledge. Without knowledge, we cannot obtain proximity, the closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's talk about the great Imam, Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh, and his journey to knowledge. For this, let's go to Brother Ali Haider Bhai. Ali Haider Bhai, Jazakallah for joining us once again today. And we're talking about the journey to knowledge of the great Imam, who is known for his knowledge and academic brilliance and the works that he has produced, the books that he has written, which are a guide for us, a beacon of light for us. And the title that we have for this program, Guide to Light, from every perspective, from his personality, from his writings, from his taqwa, from his tasawwuf, whichever aspect we want to look at of Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh, it truly indeed is a guide to light. Now, his journey to knowledge, importance of knowledge, inshallah, we'll also talk about, and his masterpiece works that he has produced, which are still a beacon of guidance for us even after more than a century. How would you start on this topic of journey to knowledge of Imam Ahmed Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh, The Guide to Light?
Like you mentioned, the title, The Guide to Light. And alhamdulillah, the light that Sayyidi Ali Hazrat gave to us was not only through his spirituality, the spiritual excellence that he gave to us, but it was also through his understanding of not one or two sciences, like you mentioned, but a mastery of many, many, many ulum. And the number of these ulum are over 50. And if I mention just the names of these ulum, people would become almost, I could say, dumbfounded just by me mentioning these names.
We wouldn't even know what those sciences are.
Exactly. So we would struggle to understand the different sciences that Sayyidi Al-Hazrat was a master of. We struggle to say them, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat was a master of them. And if we look at Sayyidi Al-Hazrat's titles over what he actually mastered, he's known as the reviver of Islam. He's known as the Grand Master of Tafsir, Hadith, and Fiqh. He's known as the Hanafi jurist of his time. He's known as the vanquisher of innovators. And he's the foremost defender of the faith. He's known as the Imam of the Sunnis. Not Imam of one, two, three people. The Imam of the Sunnis, a polymath, a poet, a teacher, a mufti, a Gnostic, and the guide of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. These are just a few of his titles. And when we look in there, we see Al-Hazrat didn't just master deen, but he also mastered dunya. Within this, we mentioned polymath, a poet. And all of this just shows us that Sayyidi Al-Hazrat, he truly was the master of this dunya and the deen. He mastered the sciences that this dunya understand, that this dunya wish to see, and those of the akhirat as well. When we look towards Sayyidi al-Hazrat, and we mentioned this in the previous slide as well, was that Sayyidi al-Hazrat, he had his academic brilliance in such a young age. And again, we think that when did Sayyidi al-Hazrat study? But we look towards traditionally, how did Sayyidi al-Hazrat start his studies? Where did it all begin for? I mentioned with regards to Sayyidi al-Hazrat that he was only 4 years old when he completed the recitation of the Quran. 4 years old. And one point of excellence to mention, you remember in the previous series, the previous episode, we learned that Sayyidi al-Hazrat was fluent in Arabic at the age of 3. So he was fluent in Arabic before he had even completed the recitation of the Quran.
The age when we our children hardly start studying the Qaeda.
Exactly. They're not even able to converse in their mother tongue. They don't even start the Islamic sciences. But Sayyidi al-Hazrat, at the age of 4 years old, he's completed the recitation of the Quran. And it's not our recitation that we're making mistakes. I think it was a fluent recitation from beginning to end. Because he was a master of tajweed as well. Because us understanding that I recite by pronouncing this from this throat, from this part of the mouth,
yes,
this is a science in itself.
Indeed.
Having the understanding of the rules of tajweed is a mastery in itself. Sayyidi al-Hazrat was a master of tajweed, the person who finished the Quran at the age of 4. And this finishing of the Quran shows his love for the Quran. Because if Sayyidi al-Hazrat didn't have that drive and passion, he wouldn't have done it.
Indeed.
Sayyidi al-Hazrat mastered everything he had love for. And Sayyidi al-Hazrat loves everything that has a connection to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we look at the very beginning, Sayyidi al-Hazrat, the age of 4, he finished the Quran. With regards to Sayyidi al-Hazrat's introductory studies, we find that in the books of his biography, 6 famous teachers are mentioned. And again, the interesting point is, 2 of the 6 are actually his father and his grandfather. So again, we all link it back to Sayyidi al-Hazrat's perfect upbringing. So we look at Sayyidi al-Hazrat's introductory, his education, it took place in his own household.
Right.
Whether that was from his qaida, we saw that the person overviewing that was his own grandfather. Whether that was his study of fiqh or sool fiqh, his father and grandfather overlooked. But apart from that, Sayyidi al-Hazrat, he took from other ulama ikram. So first is mentioned that his first teacher obviously was Mufti Raza Ali Khan, who's obviously his grandfather. Then he's mentioned his sheikh in tariqat was Allama Sayyid Ali Rasul, rahmatullah alayhi. Then his father is known as Rais al-Mutakallimeen, Allama Mufti Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullah alayhi. Then another one of his teachers is Allama Sayyid Abu al-Hussein Ahmed Nuri. Then another one of his teachers, Mufti Sheikh Sayyid Ahmed Zaini al-Dahlani al-Makki, rahimullah. And then the final of the 6 that I mentioned is the Muftis of the Hanafis. He's known as the Mufti of the Hanafis, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Siraj al-Makki. So every single one of his teachers, the title is associated with them, just prove how great of mountains they were. Like when you're surrounded by mountains of knowledge, you're not going to become a pebble yourself. You're also going to become a great mountain. So we look at these 6 names, Imams of the Ahnaf, Imams of the Shafis, Imams of the people of Makkah and Medina. These were all the great, great scholars. Then what's to be said with regards to Ra'is al-Mutakallimeen? That's not just a small title gifted to Sayyidi al-Hazrat's own father. So we see Sayyidi al-Hazrat's education was a very perfect and very kamil one. One story that comes into mind with regards to Sayyidi al-Hazrat's introductory studies is when he was studying the Qaeda. So we learned that when Sayyidi al-Hazrat was studying the Qaeda, how maybe children today study the Madani Qaeda, how they have, it always starts with what's known as Rasmi Bismillah, the introduction of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the starting phase of the Qaeda.
Formal starting phase.
Basically. So the introduction almost to the Qaeda. So Sayyidi al-Hazrat, his teacher, who was teaching him at the time, he was commencing this Bismillah ar-Rahman, commencing the Qaeda. And he sat with his teacher and observing this entire incident, because obviously his grandfather has spiritual insight. He knew that this child, even his introduction would be something magnificent. So his grandfather, Mufti Raza Ali Khan, he's watching this incident unfold. And he sees that his teacher says, recite Alif. Sayyidi al-Hazrat recites Alif. Then he says Ba. He copies Ba. Then he says Ta. Then he says Ta. Then they begin to move on to, how do we say, Alif, Lam, Alif. You know, the second phase of the Qaeda. And when his teacher said to him, Ahmad Raza, read Lam, Alif. Sayyidi al-Hazrat, straight away he went silent.
Allah.
And his teacher said, I said to recite Lam, Alif. And he says it again. Then Sayyidi al-Hazrat said, I've already read it earlier on. What is there need for me to repeat it now? Because
Allah,
Alif Bata, he had already said Alif.
Indeed.
So what's the need for me to say Lam Alif? Now, Mufti Sahib, he's listening, Hazrat Allama Raza Ali Khan, he's listening to this and he says, son, listen to what your Ustad is saying. read what your ustad is saying. He's saying, read lam alif, read what your teacher is saying. Upon further reflection, Hazrat Allama Razali Khani realized the reason Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was objecting is that how can it be possible that in a lesson consisting of single alphabets, alif, ba, ta, why have two letters been used?
Allah.
Why is my teacher saying to say lam alif? He is teaching me a letter focusing on single letters. Why is my teacher now saying to use dual lam alif? Now Hazrat Allama Mawla Razali Khan, he knew that this was a very delicate matter. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was told by his grandfather that the reason it is because it needs to be dealt in a various manner. Remember, he is Ala Hazrat still a child at this point. So Mufti Sahib, he realizes I need to tackle this in a very delicate way to teach him the logical reason behind this. So Allama Sahib, he says, son, it's true what you're saying. You're saying that this is a letter focusing on single letters, but yes, there's a reason behind this. He says the alif you read before was different. That was known as Hamza. Now the alif you're reading is different because alif is always sakin and alif requires the letter next to it. Hence why the word lam has been used. Again, Allah Hazrat, he's thinking about this. Okay, now you said the reason lam is brought is because alif is sakin and it requires the letter. He's thinking, Allah Hazrat pondering. Then he says, okay, he says to his grandfather, if this is the case that you have to join a letter, why are you using lam? If you have to join any letter because alif is sakin, why do you choose to use the letter lam? Mufti Sahib, again, he's expressing his sheer happiness that my grandson is asking such questions with regards to such a basic lesson. If we look at the Qaeda ourselves, when we were studying Qaeda, did we ever ask such advanced questions? What is the reason for this? Why do I need to read like this? We were just reading whatever our ustad was telling us. But Sayyidi Al-Hazrat, he mastered Arabic at such a young age. Then Maulana Raza Ali Khan, he had such great happiness that he actually made dua for Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. He exclaimed his happiness and he actually made dua. Then he says to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, in looking at both Alif and Lam, they look very similar. And both of them are empty. What does it mean by empty? There's no dots on them. Even when you write them together, they look very similar. And when it comes to qualities, Lam is the heart of Alif and Alif is the heart of Lam. Because the way you write it, they both said technically, consist of the same writing. Now Hazrat Allama Raza Ali Khan, he wasn't explaining to Allah Hazrat, this is Arabic, this is the funun. He was actually opening the treasures of knowledge and spiritual life. This talking of Alif and Lam being hearts, Mufti Sahib wasn't referring to the letters at this point in time. He had moved to the spiritual world. And this was just the introduction of Sayyidi Allah Hazrat's studies. The Madani Qaeda that we all study, the Qaeda that everybody studies, very nice and simple. But Sayyidi Ala Hazrat even managed to find points regarding
SubhanAllah, that's amazing, even especially during this entire discussion, there are many, many pearls of wisdom that we can derive. You see, Mawlana Mufti Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullah, the grandfather of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah, he himself is an acclaimed scholar. He himself is a prominent scholar. Now, the discussion that you just touched upon, that Mufti Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullah, conducted with young Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah, this wasn't an ordinary discussion. This was an academic discussion. And there were proofs and evidences, an exchange of proofs and evidences. Academic discussion is going on. Academic proofs are being exchanged by the grandson and the grandfather. Who's the grandfather? Mufti at the time. Who's the grandson? The future Imam of the Ahlul Sunnah. Now, many a times, anyway, we would have come across a phrase that you talk to people according to their intellect level.
Definitely.
For example, I have no knowledge. Literally, I have no knowledge, sir. I don't know any of this. Now, if you, being a scholar, you are to talk to me about Arabic language or the science of Arabic language, you would talk to me at really basic level. You won't talk to me at the same level as you would to your own colleague, a teacher of Jamiat al-Madina, or someone who's a scholar. So you will tackle those issues with me in a very basic, simple language which I can understand.
Definitely.
If, for example, I talk to a child of a PhD level thing, then this would be nonsensical of me because I know he wouldn't understand anything. But Mufti Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullah, he is talking to Imam Ahl Sunnat, rahmatullah, at such a young age of this subject.
SubhanAllah.
This shows us that Mufti Sahib, Mufti Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullah alayh, he knew the intellect level, the intellectuality of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah alayh, even at that time. Because had he not known it,
he wouldn't know.
He wouldn't have touched this subject. I mean, who speaks about these complicated issues with a 4-year-old child?
Exactly.
But and a Mufti, who is a Mufti? He's not an ordinary scholar. Scholar, in the first place, is not an ordinary person.
Exactly.
We need to understand this.
Indeed.
Then comes the rank of a Mufti, who again is a lot more higher, very, very big scholar. And as Amir al-Sunnat, he has several times also mentioned this in Madani Muzakras, that Alim hi insan hai, Mufti is a true human being.
Exactly.
They understand what life is, how we should lead our life. Now Mufti Raza Ali Khan rahmatullahi, talking about this subject to young Ala Hazrat. This means that this very age, Mufti Raza Ali Khan rahmatullahi knew the intellectual level of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi. In such complex discussion, anyway, even in today's day and age, when we have so much access to social media and many other resources, in today's day and age, if there's a student of Ilm-e-Deen, of Islamic knowledge in first, second, third year, many of them perhaps wouldn't be able to comprehend this very discussion.
Definitely.
Which Imam Ahl-e-Sunnat rahmatullahi not only comprehended at such a young age, but also gave evidences and proofs, academic proofs, justify his own point as well.
Exactly. Even when I was researching this and reading this myself, I was just thinking about, okay, logically, how can I explain this? Because it's not something. It's not just a discussion of Alif and Ba. This was a discussion of intellectual giants. And like you mentioned, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat and his grandfather having this discourse, imagine how pleased Allah Azza wa Jalla was. Imagine seeing the grandfather and grandson sat with each other discussing such an intricate subject. Because if we look at the qaida, it looks very simple, very basic. But they had such mastery that they even managed to take an Islamic discourse out of this. There was no intellectual discussion for us. If we were to read the qaida, you don't see the madrasa child and teacher having a discussion back and forth that what's the proof for this, why did this have a dot? No. But they had such a great level and they had such a grasp on the sciences that they were able to have this academic discussion.
And tajweed is not something simple.
Of course.
The science of tajweed is a complex branch of science.
Very
itself.
Intricate, yeah. Very intricate.
Very intricate. And when you delve deeper into it, you come to know about the sifat of the words, the makharij, and these things are primarily, they're basic things. But then when you further delve into it, there are sifat of those letters and so much detail into it.
Endless oceans.
And even someone who's completed this science, who's acquired formal education of this very science of tajweed, even he has to be on top of his game to have a grasp over the science of tajweed.
One thing that comes to mind is, imagine the state of that teacher.
Allah.
The teacher who was teaching Al-Hazrat, imagine what he's thinking. I'm here to teach him basic letters and he's started an academic discussion with his grandfather. Where am I left in this discussion?
And with his grandfather, who's also Mufti of the time.
The Mufti of the time. It just amazes you every time you look at the things that may seem basic to us. Us thinking about our beginning of how we studied the Qaida, the difference between the normal people and the awliya is the most intricate things. The smallest of things and they excel in. Something like the Qaida, very basic, but they managed to have such a brilliant discourse and discussion. And the point that you touched upon, mashallah, with regards to you only talk to someone according to their level. You know, in the science of Balagha, this is a very important point. It's called Muqtada'i Hal. That you talk to a person according to his level. Like you mentioned, you wouldn't talk about great sciences to a young child. The same way Sayyidi Al-Hazrat had to have mastered the tajweed for him to even having this discourse. And again, it links back to Sayyidi Al-Hazrat. Yes, the oceans of knowledge.
And also, we spoke about this very topic from one aspect, from the aspect of grandfather, Mufti Sahib, talking to young Ala Hazrat, that he comprehended the intellectuality of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi at such a young age. Hence, he indulged into this discussion. But on the other hand, let's now come towards Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi at this young age. Now, he is so, countering is not the right word, but he's presenting academic proofs and evidences not only before his grandfather but before Mufti of the time.
Exactly.
And if I know that I don't have enough knowledge to present academic evidences before a scholar, I would stay quiet.
Exactly.
It is understandable that I would stay quiet, but if I've got enough knowledge based upon which I can engage in a discussion with them, only then will I involve or indulge in a discourse or in a discussion with a scholar.
And Ala Hazrat had to have understood Mufti Sahib's points as well. So they were making points to one another. Mufti Sahib, of course, he's understanding. He's the grandfather of the Mufti of the time. But Ala Hazrat is also understanding what Mufti Sahib's trying
to say. We're having difficulty in explaining the same thing.
Exactly.
And they're engaging in this discussion. This is amazing. If we just ponder upon this very point, it shows us the greatness of Mufti Sahib. Mufti Reza Ali Khan rahmatullahi alayh, and the greatness of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullahi alayh, such a young age to have grasped that very point that his grandfather, the Mufti of the time, is mentioning, and then presenting academic proofs and evidences before his grandfather. As you mentioned beautifully, that how pleased Allah Almighty would be, that what beautiful discussion is taking place between a grandfather and a grandson. One is the Mufti of the time, one is the future Imam of the Ahlul Sunnah. Now, again over here, if we ponder upon our own states, because the main purpose of all this is so that we can better ourselves,
of course,
and we can see where do we lack. Now, this was also a discussion between a grandfather and a grandson. There would be countless occasions where the father of Ala Hazrat, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, would have also had these kind of discussions with his beloved son. This is also a household. These are also some discussions that are being taken place between them. Now, we also have these kind of examples in our households where there's father at one side and child at one side.
Allah.
There's grandfather on one side, child on the other side. Now, what discussions do we engage in?
The point you mentioned definitely is something for us to think about. Not only the relation between grandfather and grandson, the initial relation between a father and son is something non-existent today.
Indeed.
Our grandfathers are almost, or grandparents you could say, are almost considered not even part of our first family.
Right.
It's almost like they are a burden upon us, or do we have to go to our parents' house? Do we have to make a phone call to them if they're in another country? We see it as a burden. Sayyidi al-Hazrat understood the rank of his grandfather. And not to say, remember we spoke about this before as well, the rank of our parents and grandparents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say respect your parents based on their merits. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say respect your grandparents if he's a scholar. When Allah azza wa jalla spoke about the rights of parents, he didn't specify any conditions. He only said that you have to respect your parents. Rasulullah taught us we have to respect our parents. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example of this. We think now we've become someone, now that we've become anyone, and this specific message is not just towards any specific group, it's for everyone. No matter if you're an academic, you're an imam, you're a person associated to the worldly sciences or the dini sciences, you can never be greater than your parents. Yes. You become the engineer of your time, you are still not even equivalent to the dust of your parents' feet. And when you understand this relationship, then you can become like Allah Hazrat. Then you can begin to follow in their footsteps. We can say we love Allah Hazrat. We can say we love his works. But his main principle was love. His main principle was adab. His main principle was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is our state, like you mentioned today, that we've broken this relationship with our grandparents, with our parents. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat understood the love for his grandfather and he had these discourses. Do you think our parents and grandparents don't have stories to tell us?
Allah.
They had an academic discourse because that was their field. Maybe your grandfather's field was that he was a factory worker. You speaking to him about his expertise, Allah will still be happy with you. Because you're speaking to your grandfather. Allah Hazrat spoke to his grandfather and his expertise. You speak to your grandparents about their expertise, Allah will still accept and be happy with you.
Amazing, amazing, mashallah. Beautiful message for all of us, the viewers of Madani Channel, that look after your parents, serve them, talk to them. Now is the time that we should serve our parents. Go in their service and speak to them politely, nicely, kindly. Look after them, inshallah, we will be successful in this world and in the hereafter. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we are talking about the journey to knowledge of the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, rahmatullah alayh. And beautiful points we've covered so far, where we also come to know the importance of the upbringing of children, the role of parents, which they play in the upbringing of children, which would determine the future of the child, as in which walk of life does he walk upon, whether it would be the path of piety or path of sins. This is very, very important for us to understand. The household of Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh, was a pious household. It was a household that comprised of scholars. It was a household that comprised of Muftiyan Ikram. This is the environment in which the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh, was brought up. And if we want our children to also be pious, then we also should not only acquire knowledge, but also act upon it. We should not only offer tahajjud ourselves, but also encourage our children to offer tahajjud as well. We should have some set time during the day when we sit down and recite salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and at the meantime encourage our young children to also join us in this noble cause. Normally children, they follow the footsteps of their parents. When we will be holding a tasbih in our hands, when we will be reciting the Quran, our children will also come next to us and start doing the same actions as we perform. Why don't we try to shed tears in the fear of Allah Almighty, in the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in front of our children, so that they also learn what, how should we lead our life. Insha'Allah Zawajal, when we ourselves act upon these practices, then our children will also follow our footsteps. Insha'Allah Zawajal. Anyway, journey of Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullah alayh towards knowledge. Yeah. What else would you like to share with the viewers of Madani Channel?
So we've covered his introductory studies, we could say, the Qaida, the recitation of the Qur'an. He finished at the age of 4. This was the basic things. Sayyidi al-Hazrat, he says himself that he completed his traditional Islamic education, meaning Dars Nizami, and whatever he needed to cover in his Islamic education at the very young age of 13 years, 10 months and 5 days. Sayyidi al-Hazrat himself, he states that I completed my religious education during the middle of the month of Sha'ban in the year 1286 after Hijri. I was 13 years, 10 months and 5 days at the time. And the greatest point of all of this, what he says at the end, it was also at the time that the Salah had just become Fard upon me. And this is all mentioned in Al-Ijazat al-Radawiyya, where Sayyidi al-Hazrat himself is saying this. He knew the time where everything became obligatory, and around that time he had already finished his education. Before the amal had even began, he had attained all of the ilm. Whatever the faraid were upon him, he had already attained the knowledge of that at such a young and tender age. And again, throughout this sirsara, throughout this series, the question keeps on coming in mind. When did Sayyidi al-Hazrat study with us? And this again is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we go through Sayyidi al-Hazrat's studies, I'll mention one, almost you could say a quote or one question that Sayyidi al-Hazrat's teacher said to him. And after mentioning that, then we'll speak about the funoon that Sayyidi al-Hazrat had mastered. Mm-hmm. So one of his teachers, out of love, they would call him Mia. So they call Sayyidi al-Hazrat Mia. One of his teachers asked him, Mia, are you a jinn or a human being? It takes me much time to teach a lesson, but it doesn't take you much time to learn a lesson. Al-Hazrat said, praise be to Allah that I am human. So look at this. Sayyidi al-Hazrat's own teacher said, it takes me so much time to prepare these lessons. Sayyidi al-Hazrat wasn't studying basic grammar. Sayyidi al-Hazrat was studying very difficult works. And even the teachers of today, the ulama of today, know the preparation that goes into this. And even then his teacher is saying, it takes me much time to prepare, but it doesn't take you much time to understand at all. Are you a human or a jinn? Because I cannot understand this to be possible for a human. So Sayyidi al-Hazrat replied, humbly he replied, I am a human being. And this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the point to understand here, Sayyidi al-Hazrat's teacher said, it doesn't take you much time to understand. And understand what? In front of me, I have 54 ulum that Sayyidi al-Hazrat mastered. Not Sayyidi al-Hazrat knew of, 54 such ulum that Sayyidi al-Hazrat has mastered. And these names, even if somebody was to read the names, they'll be confused. I'll mention a few that we understand, maybe. For example, Qur'an Azim. Sayyidi al-Hazrat understood the Qur'an. Then you have Qira'at. The recitation in itself, there are multiple different qiraat styles. Sayyidi al-Hazrat had mastered them. Then you have tajweed, the rules, regulations. Sayyidi al-Hazrat mastered that as well. Then you've got the Quran. You've got the three parts qiraat. You've got the tajweed. That's covered. Then Sayyidi al-Hazrat, he was a master of the tafsir of the Quran as well. Not only the Quran, but the tafsir as well. Then you had usul of the Quran, the principles with regards to the Quran. Then you had hadith and the usul behind hadith. Then you had fiqh, then the usul behind fiqh. Then you had sarf, nahav, balaghat, lughat. And then when it came to languages, Sayyidi al-Hazrat mentioned that he was a master of Farsi, of the Arabic language, of the Urdu language, of mantiq, bayan, adab, aqidah, manazra, and all of these different sciences. There's 54 mentioned here. I only mentioned a few, and I don't think we would even be able to memorize just these names.
Indeed.
54 names, I don't think many of us could even memorize 54 names.
And imagine such a beautiful compliment from your teacher. Exactly. And someone who's a teacher of Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah, he himself wouldn't be an ordinary teacher.
Exactly.
I was just thinking about this as you were talking, that to be the teacher of the Imam of Ahl Sunnah,
subhanallah,
of the future, he wouldn't be an ordinary teacher. For him to pass this compliment on to Imam Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullah Alayhi is not something ordinary. And all these ulum that you're talking about, many ulama have even numbered more ulum than this. And anyway, when I was doing some research on this subject, these are the religious branches of science that we're talking about. Then when we see regarding his grip on worldly sciences, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, he also had expertise in the field of science, in worldly sciences. And many experts of that very field, mathematicians, those who were expert in chemistry, many a times we find in the history, who they would refer back to Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, the famous account of the famous mathematician of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have many sciences which Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh had expertise in. I was reading about them and I didn't even know that they existed. I didn't even know what those sciences are. Topology, taxonomy. And there were several such names that I was like, this is the first time I'm coming across these names. But Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullah Alayh had expertise in those fields. And prior to Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, no one had introduced those sciences and no one had expertise in those sciences. The Imam of Ahl Sunnah Rahmatullah Alayh was the first one not only to expound on those branches of knowledge, but to have expertise in those branches of knowledge. We see student of medical field.
Indeed.
Back in those days, there was a very interesting program that we previously covered, in which we had mashallah Muballigh of Dawud Islam, Dr. Khurram Attari sahab, and they expounded on this subject, where they spoke about, there was a medical student back in those days who asked Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayhi, for some advice. The Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayhi, wrote him a letter with some points that do this, adhere to this, etc., etc. And that letter was given to him. And Dr. Sir was saying that today in our CPD courses, that the professional development courses that they have to go through, many of those points are the same as we are told to do today professionally. This is just one example I'm giving you. The personality of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, the academic brilliance that he possessed, is something which is beyond our imagination. It is something that we cannot comprehend. It is something that cannot be encompassed within few words.
Definitely.
This is just a glimpse. Like at the age of 13 years, we hardly know, you know, class 5 or 6 things at this age.
Yeah.
But the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Rahmatullah Alayh, having completed the contemporary studies at such a young age, this is something amazing.
And the greatest thing is, like, if we bring this to our society today, these knowledges, I've just mentioned the Arabic, just one of the basic translations of maybe some like Sarf and Nahw. The names of these are morphology and syntax, such advanced words for basic sciences that Sayyidina Hazrat didn't know of, he was a master of.
Indeed.
And then if you look at our education, let's for example say when a person finishes his secondary education,
indeed,
when he's, let's say he studied maths, he studied some algebra, some equations, when he goes into university, usually he's forgotten most of them.
Right.
When we pass through our different levels of education, we tend to forget what's mine. But Sayyidina Al-Hazrat, when he looked at something once, he had such a photographic memory, he looked at it, that's it. It's embedded within his heart. Any time, any place you ask, Al-Hazrat will know the answer. To such an extent, Sayyidina Al-Hazrat was such a master. He wouldn't answer one question at one time. He'd have multiple people speaking about multiple questions, even about multiple topics, in multiple languages,
Allah,
and Sayyidina Al-Hazrat individually answering all of them. That's the mastery of a true giant and a genius. This word I keep using, genius, is the only word that it doesn't befit Sayyidina Al-Hazrat. He's even greater than a genius, but it's the only thing that our intellect can understand, that he was a mere genius. That's what Sayyidina Al-Hazrat truly was.
And having such a grasp on so many sciences, we don't see this kind of example very common in not in today's day and age, neither in our recent past or even distant past.
Yes.
And this all again comes down to only one point: the love that he had for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the sincerity he had to serve the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the upbringing that he had, and it was all the fadl, the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these doors to knowledge were opened for our Imam, Imam Ahle Sunnat, Imam Ahmed Raza Khan, rahmatullah alayh. And at the same time, Alibay, it also reflects the importance of knowledge.
Definitely.
That any wali of the past, any wali you choose, you read their seerah. One thing, amongst many other things, one most common factor between all of them would be knowledge.
Definitely.
They all would possess knowledge.
It's important.
Without knowledge, you cannot attain the ma'rifah, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cognition of Allah Almighty. This is impossible.
A story even comes to mind when you say this about the importance of knowledge and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two terms we're going to use in this account, one being abid and the other being alim. So someone is abid is a person who is often worshipped, he's engrossed in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other is an alim, the person who is the one who has knowledge, he's a scholar of Islam. And there was an account which summary is like this. The shaitan, once he was holding a gathering of, you could call his minions or his disciples, and they were discussing that I made this person do this sin today, I misguided this person this way. And one shaitan, he said that I made so-and-so do this sin, this evil act, adultery, drinking alcohol, all these things. And the shaitan said, okay, next, who's next? They were discussing. And one person said, I stopped a child from going to the madrasa today. Then Shaitan Iblis, he stood and he hugged this minion of his, this disciple of his, and everybody's shocked, saying, I made him do this, I made him do this, I made him do adultery, I made this person fornicate, I made this person backbite. All he did was stop a child from going to madrasa. I could have done that. Shaitan says, let me show you the importance of what he has done. So then he shows his minions almost a waqia, in which he takes the form of human, and he goes on the path of a masjid, and the abid is walking past. And he says to this abid,
the one who's a worshipper,
the person who he spends his time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to him, that if I said to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could make an elephant enter into the hole of a needle, hole of a needle is extremely tiny, an elephant is great, what would you say? He would say, he just replied in a negative mannerism, are you crazy? I need to go. He's almost trying to get rid of him. He said, are you crazy? How can this be possible? An elephant and a needle hole? Go, I need to go to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm getting late for my salah. Then this incident took place. Then Shaitan saw somebody who was becoming an alim, who was a student of knowledge, a person who was considered somebody with knowledge, an alim. He said to this same person, asked him the exact same question. He said to him, what if I was to say to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could make an elephant pass through a needle hole? This alim of Islam, his reply was, you're talking about an elephant? If Allah Azza wa Jalla, the creator of all, the all-powerful, desired, he could make this entire universe enter into this needle hole. And Shaitan said to his minions, this is the definition and this is the reason and importance of knowledge. You stop that child from being a student of madrasa today, you stopped him from everything. He doesn't have the ilm, there is no amal. Because amal solely depends upon it, having this ilm. I can pray salah every single day. If I don't know why I'm praying, if I don't know what my aqidah is, if I don't know who I am praying to and what my reason of praying is, at what point does it all have?
And also if I don't know how to pray it.
Exactly.
Ilm also makes us learn how to,
of course,
offer my salah. If I don't know how to offer my salah, if I don't know those things which would invalidate my salah,
exactly,
then of course my salah will not be valid. Now the same account that you mentioned, the first person, the abid, the worshipper, he denied the qudrat of Allah Almighty. He denied the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he didn't possess ilm. And the other person was an alim. And it is also stated that the abid was going for tahajjud salah and the alim was going for fajr salah. So he was a tahajjud because he was someone who was offering tahajjud, but he didn't possess knowledge the way the alim possessed. He denied the qudrat of Allah Almighty.
And that's the importance of knowledge.
And now no matter how many sujood he performs, it's all in vain.
It's almost if we say that if you look at a bird, it has two wings. One wing we could say is ilm and the other is amal. You require both of those wings. If one is missing, then that bird cannot fly, it cannot reach its destination. Our destination is Jannah. We require ilm and the amal alongside with it.
SubhanAllah, very beautiful point. And without either of them, we are nothing. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, very beautiful message. Again, we find from the seerah of the great Imam, the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, rahmatullah alayh, that ilm is very, very important. And Imam of Ahlus Sunnah Rahmatullah Alayh, his journey to knowledge was amazing, and the amount of knowledge he possessed that is also beyond our imagination. And it is this knowledge that elevates the ranks of a person. It is this knowledge that differentiates between the elite and the ordinary people. It is this knowledge by the means of which we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we are meant to worship Allah Almighty. Now, many viewers of Madani channel might be sitting over there, and we might ask ourselves the question that how many faraid, obligatory actions, are there in salah? How do we purify ourselves? In what state do we become impure? And what is the ruling of entering the masjid if we are in the state of impurity? And once we are in the state of impurity, how do we purify ourselves? If water is not available, then what we do? And there's so many of these kind of questions. Do we know the answers to this? If our answer to ourselves is no, then dear viewers of Madani channel, we are lacking in knowledge. But we don't need to worry. Alhamdulillah, your Dawat Islam is there, your Madani channel is there. Alhamdulillah, the aim of Madani channel is to impart Islamic teachings, to impart Islamic knowledge. And alhamdulillah, there are many departments of Dawat Islam through which we can acquire the knowledge of Islam. Jamiat al-Madina, Islamic universities, is one of them. Take admission in them. Enroll your children in them, inshallah, for them to become future ulama, future scholars. And if you're not able to do that, then alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami also provides online courses through which you can acquire Islamic knowledge. Go on the website of Dawat Islami, www.dawatislami.net. Enroll yourself in online classes. You can do the scholar course, there's an Nizami course online from the convenience of your home, the time that suits you. A Qari Sahib, an Alim Sahib, a teacher will be allotted to you, the time that suits you, and from the convenience of your home, inshallah, they will teach you. You have the means. Come on the path of knowledge. Try to better yourself and your akhirah. Without knowledge, we are nothing. Like Brother Ali gives a beautiful example of the two wings of the bird, ilm and amal. Let's try to get both these wings, without which we are nothing. And inshaAllah, Zawajal, using both these wings, ilm and amal, our destination is Jannatul Firdaus, inshaAllah, Zawajal, through Madinatul Munawwara. Ali bhai, other than this, what else would you like to share regarding the journey of Allah to knowledge with the viewers of Madani channel?
Indeed. We mentioned in the mastery of Sayyidi al-Hazrat of worldly sciences and non-worldly sciences. And we mentioned with regards to Sayyidi al-Hazrat that he was so gifted and he was so intelligent when Sayyidi al-Hazrat was only 8 years old.
Indeed.
8 years old. Remember, it's mentioned Sayyidi al-Hazrat finished his education at 13. But when Sayyidi al-Hazrat was 8 years old, he wrote a detailed masra with regards to the faraid. So the faraid acts, the farad acts, Sayyidi al-Hazrat actually wrote a masra with regards to this. And when his father, Mufti Naqi Ali Hani, saw this, he happily remarked. And his words were so amazing that history is witness to the happiness of this father. He exclaimed, if only an adult could answer in this manner. The Mufti of the time, the father of Al-Hazrat, is reading his own son's ruling at the age of 8, saying, if only adults. And he didn't mean awam. He mentioned the adults of ulum, meaning the alims of the time, who are in the adulthood, if only they could answer in this mannerhood. Why? Whenever Sayyidi al-Hazrat would write, he wouldn't write in a complex manner. He'd write so everybody can understand. All the complex masail and masail, people would be thinking for hours and hours. Al-Hazrat would write a few lines and it would become, knowledge would expand in front of those people. And this is just one of the examples of the perfection of his intelligence. At age 8, his father is astonished. Another waqia we see when Sayyidi al-Hazrat was 10 years old.
Indeed.
Still before his education hasn't finished. At age 10, he's studying Ilm al-Thubut. That's one of the book's names. And that's not even taught in our Dars-e Nizami. And at the age of 8 years old, Sayyidi al-Hazrat is studying this book. And in this book, he's studying with Mufti Naqi Ali Khan, his father. He notices in the side notes, there's some objections. And the answers, Mufti Naqi Ali Khan has written the answers to those objections. Sayyidi al-Hazrat studied this book carefully, understood it, read the contents behind it, properly mastered this book, how a book is supposed to be read. And what he did was he wrote such well-explained footnotes that when his father, Mufti Sahib, Mufti Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullahi alayh, came across these footnotes, he said to Sayyidi al-Hazrat, O Ahmad Raza, you do not learn from me, but you teach from me.
Allah,
the Mufti
Allah
of the time is holding al-Hazrat to his chest, to his heart, saying, you do not learn from me, rather you teach from me. The Mufti of his time, an adult, a father, a leader, who is known as Rais al-Mutakallimeen, he's saying to a child who's of the age of only 10, he's saying, you are my teacher. Imagine a father saying to a son today, you are my teacher.
Allah.
But this was no normal Allah. Father. This was the teacher of all teachers, the mufti of the muftis, the alim of his time saying, you teach me.
Allah.
Now we can't deny the brilliance, the genius of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat. When his own father has not denied it, when his own father and grandfather did not fail to recognize this genius of a man, how can we fall prey to that? How can we say to ourselves, you know, Al-Hazrat was a normal man.
Allah.
Sayyidi Al-Hazrat at 8 and 10 years old was writing beyond even his father and grandfather's level.
Allah.
And then people say that Sayyidi Al-Hazrat was just a scholar of the previous century. Sayyidi Al-Hazrat wasn't a scholar, he was a master of the century. That's why he's known as the Mujaddid, the reviver of the times. He revived both the ulum of this world and of the akhirah.
Subhanallah, mashallah, subhanallah. Very beautifully mentioned, Alifah. Jazakallahu khairah for your precious time. And dear viewers of Madani channel, today, alhamdulillah, we've tried to pay tribute to the Imam of Ahl-Sunnah, to the revivalist of the 14th century regarding his academic brilliance. We couldn't, of course, do justice to the level of his academic brilliance. And who are we to understand his level of brilliance in academic field, in the field of knowledge? We just tried to present before you a few facts regarding what his academic brilliance was, how he started his contemporary studies, and what he eventually attained, and what great expertise he held at a very, very young age, the age at which perhaps we would be wasting our time, and we wouldn't even know basics of the things. But the Imam of Ahl-Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, rahmatullah alayh, at that very young age, had even excelled beyond the works of his own father, who was Rayisul Mutakallimeen, and his grandfather, who was the Mufti of his time. So this is all for today, dear viewers of Madani channel. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his countless mercies and blessings upon Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala alayh. And for the sake of his knowledge, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us knowledge and also enable us to act upon it. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
The guide to life.